Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dive.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Vegas Dave's Dime. I am Vegas Dave, of course, and today I want to start by talking about home court advantage in basketball. And this topic is fresh on my mind due to the Spurs just stomping on the Lakers now that the series has gone back to San Antonio. And it got me to thinking just how big of a deal home court advantage is in basketball. It's pretty obvious that it is a big deal, just, you know, from glancing at the scores or hearing things on, you know, SportsCenter or whatever. But I wanted to actually break down the numbers and see how big of a deal it was. And the numbers surprised me a little bit. I actually took the time to go day by day for the last month and change for every playoff game that's been played so far in the NBA. While I'm sure this stat is just readily available somewhere, I wanted to make clear that I did this all by myself. I'm very proud of myself, or I have way too much time on my hands. I can't decide which. The home team in these playoffs is 56-19. 56 wins, 19 losses. So the home team is winning 75% of the time. And that's just too big of a number to ignore. That's too big of a number to be a coincidence. I mean, obviously the better team during the regular season earned home court advantage. But even still, with the layout being 2-2-1-1-1, this should level itself out a little more than 75% home team, 25% road team. And so I took the time as well to see how it was in hockey, to compare home ice wins to road wins, and it came out that the home team wins 60% of the time in hockey. 48 wins, 32 losses. And this seems to make a lot more sense to me as far as just, you know, the better team having home ice advantage, the standard crowd effect on a game. 60-40 makes sense to me. 75-25 just seems crazy to me. And it just goes to show that basketball, as far as the pro sports go, is far and away the most important sport to have home court advantage in. I mean, football used to definitely have a really big home field advantage. But now, in this era, you know, with stadiums being built the way they are, fans are so far away from the field. Don't get me wrong, these stadiums are absolutely rocking. But professional athletes can tone that out to some degree. And look no further than in 2006, when the Pittsburgh Steelers were a wild card team, they went on the road and beat the higher seeded team every time. And you look at the 2008 Giants that did the same thing. They went on the road and beat the higher ranked teams every time. So, not saying home field isn't important in football, but I am saying it's beatable. Same in hockey. Like I just said, with the 60% wins, 40% losses, that seems to make sense. It seems to show that, yes, home advantage is an advantage, but a slight one. Baseball, I'm sure, would be very similar. Basketball, on the other hand, it is a huge advantage to have home court. And I'm probably not telling you anything you didn't know before. I just wanted to share these numbers, because they blew me away a little bit. I was expecting something more like 65-35, not 75-25. That really blew me away. I mean, obviously the Celtics have helped that a lot this season. But I think the main difference in basketball is the fact that the fans are right on top of the court. They pack so many seats in right next to the court. You know, I've got the image of Jack Nicholson sitting 2 inches away from the bench in my head. And I'm not saying Jack Nicholson is the one making all this noise. But just in general, it's so loud and you don't have the glass you do in hockey. You don't have the foul lines you do in baseball. You don't have the surrounding area you do in football. It's all right on top of you in basketball. And when you especially come playoff time, when these fans are getting absolutely insane for their teams going down the stretch, it makes sense. But it's just interesting to me how big of a difference it is from basketball to pretty much any other sport. The second point I wanted to talk about today was Jay Bruce. Now, this touches me personally because I am an avid fantasy baseball player, and I've got Jay Bruce on my team. If you haven't heard of him, he is a prospect in the Cincinnati Reds system right now. In 49 games for the Louisville Bats, that is the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds, in 49 games, in 184 at-bats, the kid's got 34 runs, 10 home runs, 37 RBIs, with a 364 batting average. A 364 batting average. He has done everything there is to prove in the minors. There is no way you can hit 360 in the minors and not be ready for the pros. In such a large sample size. We're not talking about a nice little run here. He's done it in almost 200 at-bats. And I'm looking at the Reds roster, and I'm saying to myself, why can't they find a spot for this kid? Am I missing something? Let's take a look. Of the 9 players on the Reds with 100 at-bats or more, 3 have an average over 280. Now, of course, I'm not saying that minor league average translates directly to pro average. Of course it doesn't. But perennially, 300 hitters in the minors tend to hit 300 or high 200s in the pros. If we're talking about top prospects like this. 3 batters on Cincinnati have an average under 260. And guess what? They're all outfielders, which is the position Jay Bruce plays. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not crazy. I'm not saying Jay Bruce should be brought in instead of Adam Dunn or Ken Griffey Jr. Dunn, despite his terrible average, has an on-base percentage of .405 because he gets walked so often. He has 13 home runs. He's got some uses, despite the fact that he doesn't hit the ball that often. Ken Griffey Jr. is a fan favorite, one of the great hitters of all time, draws walks. He's always a threat up there. I think that they should be looking to trade these guys, considering that Cincinnati should be looking towards their future, since they don't have a team, you know, that's ready to compete for a championship right now. But that's another story. I just want to take my remaining time to rip into Corey Patterson and Dusty Baker for putting Corey Patterson out there. In Sunday's doubleheader, Corey Patterson went 0 for 8, which shouldn't surprise anybody. Because in 44 games this season, Patterson has 21 runs, 4 home runs, 13 RBIs, 8 stolen bases, a .201 batting average, and a .242 on-base percentage. He gets on base less than a quarter of the time as a leadoff hitter. You are putting a guy out there as your leadoff hitter to get the game started, to get most innings started, to get on base, because that's what they've got him out there for. He steals bases. He's a good base runner. He's batting .201, and he doesn't get on base a quarter of the time. How can you have a kid in the minors who's batting .364, who in all likelihood is going to come up, he can at least bat .250, and the on-base percentage would shatter Corey Patterson's. How do you not bring up Jay Bruce in favor of this guy? You might be saying to yourself, oh, maybe Corey Patterson's off to a bad start this year. Well, let's take a look at his career numbers. A .256 batting average. A career .295 on base percentage. A career .295 on base percentage. You've got a kid rotting in the minors that in all likelihood can come up and bat .310. And maybe I'm giving him too much credit. Maybe he comes up and does a terrible job. I'm not discounting that idea. But how do you not give him a chance? The kid comes up and hits .310, and he beats Corey Patterson's career on base percentage. How does Corey Patterson have an everyday spot on the Cincinnati Reds with Jay Bruce breathing down his neck? Is it Dusty Baker? Is it the arbitration rules? Whatever it is, figure it out, Cincinnati. For my fantasy baseball team, for Cincinnati fans, for fans of good baseball, young prospects, whatever, figure it out. Get Jay Bruce in your lineup. He is the best offensive prospect in baseball right now, and he is being held down in the minors by a guy who's barely batting .200, who's barely getting a hit once every five times he goes up there. Give me a break. That's all I've got for you. I need to go cool down now. As always, you can email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com, and I will always get back to you, hopefully get some questions on the air in the future. And thank you once again so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.